We're set to probably take on our quota ranges. Quentin, do we want to take 5 minutes, gentlemen? Okay, let's take 5 minutes and we'll reassemble. Yeah, go ahead. We're back in session, Quentin.
Mr. Chairman, proceed. Members of the commission, Director Williams. So the next topic to keep everybody on the same page is, for want of a better way to put it, the rest of the elk seasons that aren't shoulder seasons. And there is an abundance of changes. Those are highlighted in the master list across all of the regions. Again, relative to the yardstick of public comment and debate that the shoulder season represents, our first sense is that all of these discussions are not that sort of divisiveness. And so just as the commission split the state into two bunches of regions, we think it reasonable in this case to move all of the regions in one motion. That being said, I'd add a couple of adjustments to the department's proposal. One adjustment, and that is in 318, 335, 339, and 343, there is a proposal to strike some language, forgive me, Mr. Chairman, for an antlerless permit. And rather than do that, strike the language, the proposal is to go to a brow time bull antlerless permit in each of those districts except for 339, where it would be a spike bull antlerless permit. And the reason for that is it accomplishes the same end, but that keeps us clear of a statutory limitation on what we can do with antlerless permits. I would also remind the commission, Region 2 is here to speak to a boundary conundrum that was referenced earlier by Mr. Beck. And Mike Thompson and Randy Arnold have been working. We've got a map on the commission workstations, and the region can talk to what I understand to be a boundary adjustment that's different from the current proposal, but works for the region. Sounds like it works for the landowner side of the discussion. And I understand Mr. Beck can speak, as he did previously, to landowners beyond just his own ownership. So. One last thing I would say is that there are some quota range proposals in these specific elk season recommendations that are not shoulder seasons, and this is where those should be if there are specific changes. This is the agenda item for those changes to be made. And then remember, we talked about the biennial quota range as an agenda topic being the last item. And those are for all the other quota ranges for all of the species that haven't, at that end of the day, been previously addressed in individual proposals. So if you have an individual proposal for a quota range on elk, now is the time to put that forward. Again, lots of changes from the December commission, making room at the podium today for public comment. And again, if the commission is so inclined, they want to prompt Region 2 to speak to that boundary change.
And so, Quentin, with the discussion you had about 339 and brow tine, that is not in the proposal as written?
Correct. That's an adjustment. So the proposal would be the, go to it, it's the 318 or the 394 and the 396 antlerless permits. The proposal is changed to make those permits in 318, 335, and 343, brow tine, bull, or antlerless permits, and 339, spike bull, or antlerless permits. And again, it arrives at the same functionality. It just does it in a way that honors the statutory language that confines how antlerless permits can be used.
So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that for elk hunting seasons and hunting district boundaries other than shoulder seasons, that the approve the department's recommendation with the exception of its latest adjustment for 318, 335, 343, and 339, along as well as the new Hunting District 213 boundary and 217 boundaries as presented by the department, along with the other exception being for Hunting District 410, the quota range for the 410-20 would be 100 to 250, and for 417, the quota range would be 25 to 300. All remaining components staying the same as proposed.
I'll second.
We have a motion and second. And so again, there's quite a number of changes from the tentative that primarily have to do with the quotas and boundary changes. And as pointed out in 339, some discussion of what you can harvest on a particular license. Is any comment from the commission before we get started with the comment?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's a reasonable compromise. I did not get everything I would like as normal, but yet I did get some things. And I think the landowners and the sportsmen each got something in this proposal. So I'm wholeheartedly behind it at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Stuker. Any further comment from the commission or questions for Quentin? Go ahead and send it out for public comment here in Helena to start off with. Any comment from the public here in Helena? Not seeing any. I'm just going to go to the regions at large. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Mr. Mayberry.
Gary Mayberry, Lewistown. First of all, I want to apologize to the commission earlier. Got a little warmed up. And I want to apologize to you and say sorry about that. I did not bring my notes up this time because I want to talk from the heart. Yeah, I love elk as much as anybody in the state. When they start causing me financial burden, we have a problem. And I understand, Sonia, we're gaining, but we're having as many, if not more, bull elk calves born than what you're proposing. And I want sportsmen to come hunt them, and we're trying to. We got 29 people on there, whatever, and 98% of them allow public hunting. And I don't want to lose that. I really don't. And they're frustrated as I am. I can show you a picture. I was showing a picture of 150-some-head elk crossing the highway. I've showed that. Still on my place. I showed a picture to her of people of 800-900 elk down on a neighbor's place, all cows. So I would really appreciate it if you would go back, consider on 417 of making that a quota system or general so we can get that number to live about, so we can have happy neighbors, happy ranchers and sportsmen, and a healthy elk population. And that's what we're all together is trying to get everybody working together. This would be the best way for the ranchers to work. Because otherwise, right now, they all ran back to the horse ranch. You know where they go. Right now, they're back there because unhappy. So he did whatever he had to do, and he got all the elk back there. I'm not going to say how, but he did. And we're stuck. And that's why I appreciate you passing that shoulder season on 417. It's never happened there before. So I think we can get a lot of elk hammered. We've had that damage. We've got 80-90 out of elk. Cost me $1,500 in gas and hauling people around, but we got her done, and so I really appreciate you to take a deep look at 417 and making that a bigger number.
Thank you, Mr. Mayberry. Anybody else here from the region? Helena. Okay. Absolutely.
Mr. Beck, this proposed land boundary change that addressed some of your concerns, but not all.
Yeah. So I think we've got it figured out here now to run this boundary down the Gold Creek Road to the interstate. And if they're going to do that, which would allow some of these private property owners to be able to harvest a bull elk on their own property, I think it'd be pretty advantageous. I assume you guys have these maps in front of you now. One of them shows land ownership. The other one's just showing section lines, basically. But if you look at the middle right going along Gold Creek Road, you got Richard Thomas, who can't shoot an elk on his own land. You've got Harry Allen, who can't shoot an elk on his own land. You've got Phil Wohlers, can't shoot an elk on his own land. You got Sam Hogan with three sons, been down there for 150 years, and they can't shoot a bull elk on their own land. It doesn't make sense to me. This 217 hunting district was created to appease Ombi Angelo and also Rock Creek Cattle Company. Now there's a boundary adjustment here in place so that Rock Creek Cattle Company's wealthy out-of-state clients can shoot a bull. Why don't you remove it so that these private landowners can do so as well? By following that road makes a lot cleaner line for the fishing game to understand what's going on. Theoretically, they'd have no idea coming down the Stagecoach Road or the BPA Road where an elk came from. They don't know what side of that line it was shot on. In fact, in most of this area, there's not a fence or anything there to identify the line. How do you know if you were 100 yards one way or the other of it? There's no fence there. No permanent ground markings there. These are just scribblings on a map. Thank you.
Further comment here in Helena.
I'm not sure if this is the right place to make my comments, but I want to comment about Hunting District 214 and the lack of a proposal for limited bull permit entries. When we're talking about hunting districts, is this the right place? Because 214 did have a boundary change. Is this the right place?
It would be.
Okay. So there were a number of changes made to Hunting District 214. And to refresh you, 214, the objective is 350 elk. We're at about 120 elk in there, and we've been that way for a number of years. And Tim's heard all of this for a number of years. It's been a real thorn in our side down in Anaconda that we invested all this money to buy all this ground for market. We've invested 20-some million dollars, and it's a great piece of public ground, but it doesn't have any wildlife on it. We've eliminated the mule deer population. We've eliminated just about everything else. The only thing we have left is elk, and we're at one-third of objective. And I'm very jealous to come here and talk about all these districts where we're over objective and 400% of objective. I would like to get to objective, and we're a long way. We've been a long way from ever getting to objective. So the department, after me screaming and hollering for a number of years, has finally agreed that we should reduce the number of antlerless tags in there from 75 for 130 elk, 75 elk tags. Going to go to somewhere between 1 and 5. Big loss of opportunity. We support that. We support that. But you can't do that and ignore the other half of the elk population, which is the bulls. 12 years, we have been at less than 10 bulls per 100 cows. Now, just to think about what 10 bulls are, we have 20 plus calves per 100 cows in there. If half of those calves are bulls and they survive 1 year, at this time of year, you should have 10 bulls per 100 cows. If just the spikes survive, we don't have spike hunting. If just the spikes survive, we probably have a 50% survival on spikes. So we're not at less than 10, we're at half of 10 most of the years. And the department's elk plan, which we're supposed to follow, says if 2 years of this, you have to go restricted permits. And we've been screaming for 6 years for restricted permits. And the department proposed this year in the tentatives that we go to restrictive permits. And then they came to our meeting in Anaconda and said, Tim, you were there, that restrictive permit is not, both of them. Yes, thank you, both of them. We had to have two, it was controversial enough, we had to have two hearings. That restrictive permits would not work because we're going to give 25 permits, 12 bulls, and the bulls won't survive. Branch antler bulls under that season type won't survive. So you're not going to, the season will fail. That was not a good proposal. When the proposal says you need to go to restrictive seasons, you need to look at it and say, start from how many bulls do we want to survive? And how many permits should we give to ensure that that number of bulls survive? And I don't know what that number is, but it ain't 25. It's probably 5. It might be 3 until we start to rebuild this herd. And so My objection here is that we need to go back and put what the department put in the tentatives. And I know there was a lot of controversy over this. People don't want to see their opportunity to hunt on their favorite ground restricted. But the fact is that when you biologically, you have to start from good biology. And this is not good biology. We're required by the elk plan. The elk plan doesn't say if the sportsmen support it. The elk plan says you will go to this restrictive season. And so I would implore you that you go back to what was proposed in the tentatives and adopt a restrictive plan and ask the region to come up with an appropriate proposal to ensure that we increase the bull survival and that we eventually get back in 2 or 3 years to where we're somewhere above 10. I think the minimum goal needs to be somewhere between 15 and 20. And when it does, we can go back to looking at having regular seasons if we think that we can sustain it. And I would think we could. Security cover is good in this area. There was also a comment made in that Region 2 meeting that, well, as the number of elk increase from 130 or 120, whatever we have, or 100, and when we increase to 200 or 300 elk, they'll have more bulls in the landscape and they'll eventually get there. That 12 bulls, that under 10 bulls per 100, that's the number we had. We had 4 and 6 bulls when we had 250 elk there. So if you get back to 250 elk, you're not going to solve your bull problem. We've got to get back to where we have an age structure in there, so where you have some bulls that get the intelligence to not walk down the edge of town and get shot. And that's where we're at.
Further comment here in Helena.
Good afternoon. Mark Lambrecht on behalf of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Just wanted to stand up generally in support of the previous two motions. I didn't stand up individually on those because I wanted to speak more generally about shoulder seasons. The Elk Foundation certainly supports the continued use of shoulder seasons generally, but specifically at those districts that are at or above objective. In those districts that are below objective, it's probably not appropriate to have a shoulder season. However, you know, we have to keep in mind there are depredation issues in those districts that are either below objective or at or above. We recommend that the department strategically use its game damage program, perhaps expansion of that, but also make better use of the multitude of landowner access incentive programs that have been made available for that. So just wanted to state that, you know, we support the continued use of the shoulder seasons. We think you're doing good work on trying to find a compromise and strategic.
Thank you, Mr. Lambert. Further comment here in Helena on the motion in front of the commission. Any comments from the region?
No comment, Region 1.
None in Region 2.
None in 3.
Right. None in 4.
None in 5.
None in 6.
None in 7.
We're down to one lonely Brad Schmitz in Region 7. Discussion from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, based on some of the discussion we had here now, I'm going to offer an additional amendment, and that is in 417. We're right now, we're going to 200. I would like to amend that to 225.
I'll accept that amendment. We're going from 100 to 200 up to 225. And, you know, Mr. Mayberry, it may not seem like it, but we are hearing you. And, you know, I was very reluctant to put a shoulder season in 417. I have fears that that is an area that's similar to, you know, some of the other areas in that general neck of the woods that could lead to, you know, large populations that are completely inaccessible. But I listened to you in Lewistown, I listened to that group, and was not only supportive of the shoulder season out to 417 out to Jan 15, I I encourage my fellow commissioners to support as well. That's 180 degrees for me, which typically doesn't happen. And then, you know, I understand that there'd be some preference on a, for general seasons, for general tag for either sex. Unfortunately, what we see in areas like 540 and some of the others, when we go to that method, population goes like this, the excess goes like that. We're hopeful that, you know, with this dramatic increase in the number of antler tags, either sex tags, that you, can help you root out some of your problem, and that we can look at other solutions, you know, and reinvigorate our damage system in 417. So, yes, certainly. No, and I appreciate that, and that's unfortunately a bridge too far for where we're at in comment and process and historically how we've managed that. But it is it's discussion that commission and staff is having, and it's not something we'll ignore. But I would say, and I think my fellow commissioners agree that it, at this point in the process, and given how novel that would be very difficult to do that. You seconded my motion earlier. It was my motion, and you seconded. I accepted your amendment.
Okay.
I think we're all square, right, Becky? So there has been an amendment to the motion, and we already took comment. But if there's any comment specifically on increasing the either sex quota in 417 from 200 to 225, please come forward and speak on that. Seeing none and seeing nothing in the region, I turn it back to the commission. Any further comment?
I was just curious. We have Julie's question too. Curious, I understand the reason we went from a restrictive permit to a general permit, but I'd like to hear Julie talk about the biology of that herd in 214 a little bit.
Thank you, Commissioner Byarth and the rest of the commission. My understanding of Hunting District 214, it's a small population of elk. And I think what commenters are referring to is specifically the Garrity Wildlife Management Area population of elk, which is in the current district boundaries is just the eastern half. And then the western half typically has between anything from 75 to 200 elk on private land closer to Georgetown Lake. So with those two herds combined, that's where our herd objective is at 350. And certainly we need to grow elk on the Garrity WMA. The last two winters have been difficult survey times. We've had a lot of snow, and there's a very small amount of winter range on Garrity Wildlife Management Area because it is a north-facing slope. So when we get deep snows, it has a big impact on the space that elk herds can use there. As far as our bull to cow ratios, just in 2017, we did have 20 bulls per 100 cows. And our calf to cow ratios were actually the highest I had in my whole region, which isn't speaking to a lot because we have had lower calf to cow ratios due to the winters, but we were up in the upper 20s, about 26 calves per 100 cow. After speaking to a lot of people at our two public meetings that we had for season setting, lots of debate, but we all were able to agree that to improve the herd health and just overall give it the best chance to grow a number, to reduce antlerless permits as much as we can, but to allow bull harvest, but only bull harvest. So archery will only have a bull harvest opportunity on the general license as well as youth. And again, just to grow the overall population, which will improve overall herd dynamics. And in to get two more years of survey data to show better where our trends are, because this population is so small, if we're missing 50 elk, it can have a big impact on what percentage we see on increasing and decreasing in that population. So I would really like to collect more data in the next two winters to see what numbers are compared to different conditions and different times of year that I might fly, and further consider a bull permit in that area if the next 2 years suggest that we still have very low ratios.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments from the commission on the pending motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.